Welcome to the Upstaging Gentlemen. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
This is Nathan Prince with Legendary Productions.
And there sits Alfonso.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, hey, Alfonso.
He's sitting, but he's kind of sleeping.
I'm in my body, though.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, wake up, because it's about that time to start another podcast.
Woohoo!
All right, well, what do you got for us today, Alfonso?
Yeah, well, this last episode, I asked some questions about myths in theater, and this one is going to come more from me, and I want to hear your thoughts about why.
Wait, before you go into this, Alfonso, can you ask the question in like one of your narrator voices that you do for voiceover work?
Oh, when I get to the question,
you will.
I'll give the narrator.
Okay, I want to hear that narrator.
Absolutely.
Voice. Okay, so, cool. Go for it.
I want to talk about why we do theater and what motivates us to do that. And it kind of seems vague, but I'll kind of hone in on that a little bit. I see social media, and I feel like a lot of people are driven by social media, and they do theater for their image on social media. So my question to you to start is, how does social media affect artistic identity?
Mike, you start that one.
Why do I got to start that one?
Okay, ask it one more time, because I was too busy listening to your voice in the question.
Do you want it in the same voice?
No, because I got distracted.
Now do a different voice.
Okay. Yeah.
Do a funny voice.
Your voice.
How does social media affect artistic identity?
That one worked, actually. I got the question that way. Do one more. Do a different version.
How does social media affect artistic identity?
All right, I like that.
That's a good one.
We'll keep that one for now. How does social media what? affect our identity?
Artistic.
Yeah, meaning
identity.
Yeah, like, does social media put more of an emphasis on what we have to do rather than we're doing it because it's something we want to do?
I have never thought of that in the aspect of theater. I've thought about it in the way that people look, the way that they eat, maybe even sports, but you want to be cool, come be in a play.
Yeah,
I've never thought of that.
Yeah, you should probably do that. The truth is, I do think, especially in our social media world where you have to post this, like this, do this kind of mentality, I do think that. But Steve and I, when we started, I'll just speak for Legendary alone, when we started Legendary, we vowed to not do that. Like, we want to represent art as its own form. We don't want it to have a political voice. We don't necessarily want it to have a religious voice. We want the art to speak for itself and allow people to express themselves through the art that they're doing. Leave all the social media stuff at home. Leave all your politics at home. Leave all the negativity and come here to be a part of a show in a way to escape that reality. So you can take people, because our job as performers, I believe in, and our job as a production staff, is to take the audience on a journey, take them away from whatever's going on, whatever we're doing, to take them on a journey, take them to different lands, like when we did Seuss, take them to Whoville. If we're doing, depending on the show we're doing, wherever we're going, whether it be a time period or a location, I think that's our job. So I think if we allow social media to dictate kind of what we're doing, I think then we're losing the creative voice, I think.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, it's, you said this was your question. You were curious about it. Why do you ask? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I personally see on social media, I can see people doing it because it's important to them and it's genuine to them. I've been in the rehearsal process with people where it's a completely different vibe, where I don't necessarily feel that they're there for the art of it. It's more of the look at me aspect of it. And it's just something visual I see. And I was curious if that's something that you guys see as directors, producers, theater owners. And what do you do to kind of, as you see, how has that changed even over the past 20 years as social media has become more influential?
Yeah, I would say our job, or at least I think I'll speak for both of us, and Mike could say, ain't wrong. But I think our job is to kind of limit that. If we see people kind of doing it for their self in a way. But I also think a lot of people do theater because there's been a lot of stories, and even on the couch that Mike's on right now, people come here and just express some of the stuff that they go through in life, and they get to come here to be a part of something bigger. So I think it's okay if they're coming here for themselves. I think it's our jobs, hopefully as leaders or directors, to instill that unity, feel that they belong to something bigger than them, and that they can be a part of something that, no matter what you believe, you can be a part of something bigger. But I do think there's trends, like all of a sudden you'll see Shrek the Musical being done in every theater around, and I'm like, man, that's the one show we haven't done in ever, you know? And I'm like, well, should we put it on? Because it's popular. It's getting 5,000 likes in every theater that's doing it. So on that side of the production side, we have to be careful and make sure we're listening to what audiences want to see.
And let me kind of phrase it like this too. Do you have people that come to your theater where they don't necessarily have the talent or that drive, but they kind of see the trend of, hey, theater is kind of like a growing thing. It's big. I'm going to be a part of that because of what it is. They don't necessarily understand what it is that they're doing, though.
I mean, I could see that happening because maybe you've got some contacts on social media and they post pictures of them being in a show and somebody else is watching, like, you know, that kind of looks like fun. I've kind of wanted to, I would like to do that. Oh, if I didn't have such stage fright, well, maybe I'll give it a shot. And as far as, you know, them posting the pictures and check this out, you know, like, you do want them to be proud of what they do, and they're doing it. I think there's a lot of reasons why people would do it. I mean, it could be a fun social time for them, especially, you know, if they're working hard all day and then they get to go and do something fun with their friends, but it's still like creative fun and there's still, it's still going to be a good outcome, like a, you know, good community benefit. It's like they're doing something, but it's fun and they like the people they're hanging out with and it's exciting and maybe it's even a little bit scary and they want to put every step of the moment on there and that's awesome. The moment the costumes come in, like, holy cow, look, the set's going up. Oh, look at this. Look at that. It's the lighting. Check it out. Right. And it's like a, it's, I guess you could look at it two ways. Yeah. I mean, you could, you know, maybe there's people that are just, they want to flood the thing with pictures of themselves, or maybe there's just people, I like to think of it as people just want a kind of a photo diary that they can look back on and they don't want to miss a thing of it.
You didn't ask this question, but something that's funny to me that maybe in the show and not necessarily recently or maybe recently, when you have I'll just say a little bit of conflict or distance in a show, and or you butt heads with somebody in the cast or even co-cast members and stuff, and then all of a sudden the process wasn't that amazing or fun, but then after the show they post, so amazing, it was the best experience of my life, and I'm like, no, it wasn't. Like, you made it very clear it wasn't. So sometimes it's funny to see the switch in there. But I think all of us, I mean, not necessarily, I mean, I don't really do social media that much. I post my kids and my family and some theater stuff. But it's interesting to see people in person and to see who they are on social media. That's just a general thing I think is funny. People live different lives on social media.
It's like we did that whole episode on keyboard warriors.
Yeah, keyboard warriors, how strong they are. But when you see them, they're like, Nathan, Mike, give hugs. And you're like, I know you're in a Facebook group that hates me. But it's okay. Hi, how are you? You know, like... Yeah. It's okay. I love you too.
No, but I to Alfonso's question, I mean, I do think it can be really positive when people do that.
And, yeah,
and there, there are times I wish people would post more because it's like, this is also advertising for the show, for the theater. Like, yeah, put yourself out there. Let people see what you're doing.
Be proud of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And also it shows how proud you are of the venue or location you're at, or theaters or other theaters.
And, yeah. I would say that it only benefits the theater when that happens. Yeah. So I wouldn't dispute that's even a good thing, because if you look at my social media, it's nothing but shows that I've done, because right. That's all I'm doing. That's right. My life. But if you were to take the social media out of it, let's say that did not exist, would you still have the turnout that you have for, let's say, Frozen, where you had over 200 people come out? Would you still have that turnout if you're not, you're doing it and it's in the moment?
You definitely have to get the word out a different way.
You have to get the word out a different way, and you're not going to get it, because then that's another thing. Social media gives you that microphone.
That platform
to reach many people.
But I think it's a double-edged sword, too.
Exactly.
But because, on that same note, I like social media. I think it's good to get the word out. It goes further distance without snail mail. But it also, on the negative side, if I don't like somebody, I could put on there, I'll just pretend, I could go on the internet right now and go, I don't like Mike Tennant. how many people are going to see that and pull away from the audition process too. So it could be, it's a double-edged sword. It could be cutting positive or cutting negative, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, like, I look at the Redlands Bowl, and they've been doing shows, you know, musicals for so many years, and they were doing it long before social media came around, mm-hmm. and they found a way to get the word out. I think that people that were interested in it will find a way. They'll be looking for right. the opportunities, and they would have been promoted. So the social media thing, it's great help nowadays. It can promote in ways that were never before, but the promotion was still there.
It's still interesting. Obviously, I'm a part of the Redlands Bowl in different facets, but it's interesting to see how many people are here for the first time. How many people still raise their hand after 103 years? It's a little encouraging to me. I'm like, okay, good. That means we're going to continue to grow. So it's interesting, though. I'm like, you've been around 103 years, and people still, just a couple towns over, go, I've never been there. And now they're out front, and you're like, wow, you're here now. So even with social media, snail mail, newspapers, there's still a sense of, I just think that's fascinating. I wasn't part of the question. I just think that's cool information.
It's funny how we call it snail mail. Right now,
and it's still epic how fast it gets to us.
Well, I just think, you know, it used to be when it first, you know, started with the Pony Express, how excited they were. It's the Pony Express getting here so quick.
Like weeks or months getting to you when they would drive those things. Now they have planes drop, but I've literally right to your door, literally, it feels like. You're like, oh, I sent that out yesterday. It's pretty impressive. That's like cell phones when people complain, ah, it's taking forever. I'm like, dude, it's going to space and back. It's pretty awesome. I think we're pretty lucky. Anyway.
Yeah, so you guys spoke on social media, and that was the big thing I really wanted to touch on. But as to why we do theater, I think that, for me, I know why I do it personally. But what motivates us, right? Some people have that mentality, I'm really burnt out right now, but if I stop doing theater right now, I'm going to disappear. And I'm really hot right now, so I just have to keep going and going. So does that kind of motivate us to the idea that we have to stay relevant?
I think as a, I'll just say, speak general for people. I think as a people, we want to belong to something bigger than us or belong to something that's bigger than we feel. I think that's a normal feeling that people have. So I don't think that's necessarily wrong. As far as relevance, I don't agree with that, because I think people matter whether they do theater or do whatever they do. I think they matter. But I think it's a good platform, and I think it's so cool. The reason, I'll just speak for myself, I do theater because I love the camaraderie feel. I love coming together to create with people and producing something bigger than all of us. That's the core thing. But then me personally, that motto, something that my dad instilled a long time ago and said to us as kids, that whole change effect move is really big to me. You never know the impact you have on somebody. And I've had, it's a longer story, but I've had friends who have tried to commit suicide, and I've been there when they tried, and I've had to, you know, be there for them, and I don't even go into detail on that. But I think that change effect move, you never know whether a fist bump, a high five, an encouraging word or a discouraging word or art will speak to somebody. You never know the impact that you're going to have on somebody at all. And I think art does that as a whole. And I think that's really why I continue to do it, because I think it's huge into change effect and moving people. I really do believe that.
Well, let me tell you something, Alfonso, my boy. I think the theater people, we're an unusual breed. And you look around at, and you see the theater people, and they can all be so different, but what you notice about them, we're all very unusual. And when you get that chance to bring all the theater people together, you get to show up and be at a rehearsal, and you get to create with somebody, but you get to be with your people. And you think about that, like you had mentioned, like, do I want to be in another show? I'm so burned out. But then you think of the alternative, like, how long will I see my before I'll be able to see my people? I'm going to go to work where, you know, these people don't understand me. They're not theater people. And I have other friends, but they're not crazy and theatrical. And they're like, you know, and you get the theater people together, and at least, you know, like, hey, these people understand me. And I think, you know, theater people, they want to be validated. They're artists, and they want to know that their art is important, and they want to know that they're, you know, they're appreciated, they're good at what they do, because it's, I mean, that's just what everybody wants, whether you whether you're a theater person or whether you're in a bowling league or whether, you know, it's like you want to be with your people, and you want to feel like you know, people are happy to see you there. You're happy to see your friends there. And it's like, you know, Nathan said, you want to be a part of something. And it's these people, they're all getting together and they're going to do a big creative project. And ultimately, I mean, I think that's a lot of why they do it for like community theater, especially if it's something that they're volunteering for, they're not getting paid. There's a few reasons why they would do that. I mean, one of them, it's for a cause that they really, really want to promote this cause. They believe in this cause, and so they're going to give their time to do it. And maybe they're not having a good time doing it, or maybe it's a lot of hard work, or maybe they're burned out and they're doing it anyway, but they believe in that cause. Maybe it is for money, and it's you're getting a good amount of money to do something. You need that money to pay the bills. Maybe that's why they show up. But for somebody that's not getting any of that, and then you're asking, like, why do they do it? I think that's a big part of it, is it's social time. It's a time where they can get together and still do something very productive, do something that they're interested in, and see their friends and maybe make some new friends off of it. And I think that's a big reason too. I'm sure there's other reasons as well.
And that's exactly the point I was going to make. And the reason why I asked that is because I get asked a lot, boy, you just keep going and going. I've been honestly doing shows for about 4 years straight now, back to back, or projects mixed in between. And a lot of people ask me, boy, you've got to be exhausted, tired. And I said, it challenges me, and I like that. And I like being in that environment. Just like you said, I like being amongst my friends and this family that I moved out to Redlands here to be a part of theater. So for me, if I'm spending 7 days a week doing theater, I'm going to be enjoying it. It's not going to be burning me out. It's actually my outlet. My work will burn me out. My financial stresses will burn me out. But theater is what keeps me going. And a lot of people don't understand that. They just see you going and going and going. But they don't understand how much fulfillment you're getting from it and how much it's rejuvenating you and how alive it makes you feel. So, absolutely. And part of that is what you're doing up there on stage, the relationships that you're building, and all of that. And it's like, why would I want to be not part of that? For example, and I'm kind of going on here, but I initially, for Frozen, like for the auditions on that was coming up, I thought to myself, maybe I'll take the summer off, and maybe I have been doing a lot. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought to myself, I moved out here to do theater. Why would I take a step back on the biggest show of the year? And so I said, no, theater is my outlet, so I'm going to be there every single day of the week. And there's auditions that are coming up for Godspell. I will absolutely be auditioning for that too. So I want my schedule full of theater completely. Now, some people, it would burn them out because it's going to drive them past what they're capable of, or maybe that's just not what they want. But for me, it's just a full plate, really. really motivates me, and yeah.
I love the part for us as individuals and even as actors and just that unity. But on a producer level, I remember I was in Ragtime in New York recently, and I was sitting kind of on a side seat, and I got to see kind of the whole audience. And it was one of the kind of coolest moments recently that I had. I looked across, and the melting pot of people that were in there uniformly laughing at a number or wiping their eyes or leaning on their partner, putting their head on their shoulder, grabbing an arm during a sad scene or an intense scene. It was so cool to see that. So when I watched Seussical, the show we've done right after I went and saw that, I came out here, I always watch the audience as a director. I want to know what the audience is, because I tell the cast all the time, the cast is the audience's permission and what to feel and think. And it was cool to watch this show. I watched Seussical 19 times, I think. Probably 5 or 6 of those times, I didn't watch the cast. I watched the audience from the side to see where they're responding, what they're feeling. And to look around that room, whether it be race, age, I don't know their religion or not, but I'm sure there's all religious beliefs in there. it was so cool to see the uniformity that had, that they're all laughing at the same time. And then in that moment, for those 2 hours, they're in there having that unity to experience that together, where they get to be a part of something that's bigger than their afternoon, you know? And that was a cool, kind of something that was cool. And I've always done that, but it was cool to see from Ragtime and then to purposely go, wow, let's look at this audience, how they respond. Sometimes I go, okay, that was not good blocking. They didn't like that, you know, or they're not laughing. Why? That's funny to me. Doesn't matter if it's funny to me necessarily. It's what the audience should be thinking and feeling. So not only for, I think, as actors or performers or even the production team, but seeing the audience get to be a part of that too, we're bringing them into a world that they get to be a part of that family. And I think that's super huge. And I love that part of it too. So, yeah.
Yeah. So for both of you, then, I think, Nathan, you kind of touched on it a little bit on why you do theater. So, Michael, I'll start with you then. Why do you do theater still? After all these years, why do you still do it?
I enjoy it.
That's Can it? You elaborate on what you enjoy about theater after all these years?
It's the audience. And getting to tell a new story to an audience. And, you know, I think after you do it for a little bit, I've been doing it for a lot of years, and there's certain things, I guess, that I would look for to be able to do it. It's like, you know, okay, what's something new? I get excited about those kind of things. Like, maybe doing a show I've never done before, or writing a show that, like of a genre that I've always wanted to tackle. Like, you know, we were talking about Rigby Red a couple times ago. That was a big project, and that was a scary project. And that was, you know, there was a whole lot going on involved there. And for like a year, I was living and breathing that. But I was, you know, going into country music, and I'm not a country music fan. Like, that's not something that I listened to. But I got all into it for that. I mean, I got the look, you know, was trying to get the look down, and was, you know, even if it wasn't my country music that I was writing for the show, I had country music playing in the car, and it was just, you know, trying to evolve into something new there. And so I kind of look for that, like a new challenge. I want to see, you know, what can I do that is, you know, a little bit scary these days. And like, you know, what will make those butterflies just flood my stomach? Because it is kind of a bummer when you don't get the butterflies anymore, and it just kind of becomes routine. And I want the butterflies in my stomach, and I want to be able to feel that, and I want to try new things. And so that's what's like personally fulfilling for me. If I can try something new, something that maybe I've not done before, or, you know, something like that. Those are the ones that I'm really interested in right now.
How do you get the butterflies back? I'm taking your job, Alfonso, sorry. But how do you get them back? You said if they go away, it stinks, but how do you keep it? Like, how do you bring the butterflies back?
I think you got to try something that you're very uncomfortable with.
Okay.
Or that, well, maybe uncomfortable isn't the right word, but we do...
Challenging.
I mean, it's just once this level of comfort follows on you, you go to perform, and it just becomes it's just another day down at the theater. That's not good.
Right.
It's like you don't want to just another day. So yeah, do something that maybe pushes you a little bit. Something that where the stakes are higher. We'll say that the stakes are a little bit higher than maybe you're comfortable with, and the level of things that could go wrong. I mean, as far as your performance goes, like maybe, I don't know. It just, you really got to put more of yourself into it. And then you find a lot more fulfillment in it too when you come back and nail it. You work really, really hard on it. Or yes. I guess the term would be not phoning it in.
Absolutely. So Nathan, I would ask you guys one more question here.
Yeah.
What is a moment that you've had, whether that be on stage or after a show with an interaction you've had with an audience member that made you say to yourself, this right here is why I do theater? What's one moment that just stands out to you?
Well, I remember a shared moment that we had.
What's that?
When, I think you'll remember this, but it was a while after we had done the Jackie Robinson story. And we were sitting as audience members in a theater, and the lady in front of us turned around and said, wait, were you two in the Jackie Robinson story? Like, yeah, that was us. And she goes, oh, my son loved it. He still plays Jackie Robinson out in the backyard because he saw you guys.
Yeah.
I just, you know, stuff like that. I was like, that's cool.
Yeah. I think knowing that, there's a lot of stories that I know we could probably tell you. But knowing that there's one guy during Man of La Mancha, he didn't leave his house all through COVID. Like, it was like 3 years he didn't leave his house. His wife passed away, unfortunately, not because of COVID, but another reason. We didn't go into detail on that. But he was so afraid to go outside after she passed away. But he saw they were doing Man of La Mancha, and that's a show that they watched like many years throughout the years. They went and saw shows together. It was the night before when the sun was going down. He walked, I'm going to be dramatic and say 10 blocks, but it may have been 1, 2, 3. I have no idea how many blocks he walked from his house to the theater to make sure he could do it and get there. So he did it at night when there was less traffic, not really many people around. He made the walk there, then he walked back home. The next day he came to the theater, sat on the very end, like in the maybe fifth row. No one was sitting around him. He kind of sat by himself on purpose. And during the show, I was actually in the show. During the show, I heard this voice during the show. Someone was singing. I got dressed at intermission because I was like, all right, bro, who's singing during our show? It's kind of awkward. And I went and I had Steve go with me. And I talked to the guy for about five, ten minutes. And that's when he told me that it's his favorite show. And he basically came in honor of his wife, but he needed that to help kind of with his healing. It's giving some sense of like comfort that he got to be there and experience that. And we talked and we went a little bit more, and I personally like prayed with him and just talked about he's welcome to come to other shows. I'll pick him up. And he just said he's not ready to continually be leaving, but he wanted to see that. And Steve Stanton talked a little bit more with him. But before I left, I told him, you could sing act two, go for it, or rock out, join us. But I think there's many stories like that I think it really does affect people, and not just in the audience, the cast, and me too. There'll be days where I feel like not valuable, and you're like, just a crappy day or whatever's going on. And then you go, wow, this is cool. I'm a part of something that gives me hope or gives me encouragement. So I think that, I touched on this throughout already, but just knowing that it is affecting people, hopefully for the positive.
It's really good when, you know, we were talking earlier about why people do the shows and such. And when you see something like that and you know that something that you did just made a difference.
It's the biggest payoff. Not the checks, not the money, not the anything else. That's what it's about.
Like, you know, what have you got in this world but your time? And you're giving your time. And then you see something like that and you're like, yes, this was time well spent.
Yep.
And I think that's like the best case that you can get. And I mean, we've all, I'm sure, seen shows that really inspired us for one reason or another. Maybe it just hit in an emotional climate, was just right. Something that you're experiencing in life. And then you go to the show and you hear these songs sung, or you see this character, or you, I don't know, just something lifts you. And just like we've all been a part of that, and we want to be a part of creating that for other people as well.
The Greatest Showman was a good example. Emily called me up and said, hey, you need to watch this with your daughters and Noah. You need to watch this show. I was like, what show is it? And The Greatest Showman was already out. I didn't see it in the movies or anything, but it was on, I think, Disney Plus or something. And I was like, The Greatest Showman. And I found it was about a circus dude. And I was like, what? Okay, I'll watch it. She says it's good. And she paid me a pretty good compliment afterwards. I didn't know it was going to be a compliment, but she's like, it's you. Like, there's parts of it that I see in you, Nathan. And watching it through my kid's eyes, and basically, it's about him chasing his dream, starting a circus from nothing. And anyone that's, I'll just say, a business owner, entrepreneur, people that are chasing their dreams, it's discouraging and hard. But to see him do that and to see him encouraging his kids and then seeing how hard it was or easy and what that brought with the family, it inspired me. It made me go, ha, I got this. Let's do it. Bring on the bearded ladies.
That's who I was going to say. I maybe she saw you as...
Yeah, the bearded lady. No, that's what I thought. Or the half-man goat guy or something. I don't know.
That guy's really cool.
I bet. That's not me. But seeing it through my daughter's eyes receive that was one of the moments where I'm like, okay, obviously I'm not... was it Barnum, whatever? What's his name?
Barnum and Bailey.
P.T. Barnum. Yeah. I'm obviously not him, and he has a different journey. But one day I want my kids to look at my chase for my dreams. And I remember one time driving home, and Natalie's like, hey, can we get Boba? And this was when she was probably, I'll just say 10, somewhere in the 10 to 12. I was like, no, we're broke. She's like, we're not broke, Dad. I saw your bank account, because I always let them transfer money for me to teach them about money and stuff. And she's like, you're not broke. We have a lot of money. I was like, no, we don't. I got to pay bills. And then a couple minutes later, she said in the car, from the back, we were listening to some music. And she's like, Dad, we may be broke, but I love that you're chasing your dreams. And I was like, that was like a teary moment. I was just like, I kept driving, looking forward. And I said, yeah, you guys should chase your dreams too. And it just was a cool moment, because in all the things that I've done in my life, if that's what I leave them with when I'm gone, cool. And hopefully I have many stories of that, where the guy got to sing in the audience, or the cast member that struggled with depression or suicide and all that. If we can make an impact in them through our art, let's do it, baby. And then we made an impact.
Well, fact, dreams are expensive.
No, that's true. Absolutely true. Yes, Natalie, we're broke because I'm chasing my dreams.
And, you know, yeah, and kind of pivoting back to just, you know, we're on stage, right, and we're getting that applause. And that's like the ultimate validation for an actor, right, for a performer. So the question, like, I would ask would be, is that fuel or is that a drug, that applause?
Mike and I are going to have different answers on this, so I'll let Mike go first, because Mike performs for the applause. Yeah. I'm just kidding. No, want me to go first? Maybe you want to go?
Oh, I don't know, both? Both. I mean, because it's, you think about it, if you, you know, as long as, when it's the sincere applause, when it's like, you've put all this work into it, and like I said, you've done something that maybe it's a little bit scary for you, maybe you've really broken out of the comfort zone, you're up there trying something, and then you get the applause, and you're like, wow, these people could have been anywhere tonight, and they, you know, they there's so many different forms of entertainment, whatever. They came to see a show that I was doing, and they're applauding for me. And it's, you know, it makes it feel like it's worth it. I mean, that's definitely the fuel. Like, wow, I did this once, and they appreciate it. They're applauding. They're glad that they came here. They have nice things to say afterwards. And that definitely gets you amped up to do it again. A drug, I can absolutely see it becoming a drug, especially if that's 100% where your validation comes from. If your validation comes from audiences constantly, applauding you. I mean,
and adrenaline, I think, not just validation, the adrenaline that comes with that probably is a drug too. It's like, whoa. I imagine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there's many stories about that where, mm-hmm. where the actors are, I mean, that is why they do it, for the crowds. And I don't want to, you know, maybe say drugs in a negative way, but it's like they're doing it for that. And
it's fuel.
And then after a while, that becomes their life. They're performing for that audience, and they want that applause. Just because, again, that's validation from the crowd. When they start not getting that applause, that's hard.
I think for me, it's definitely a different type of drug or fuel. Because since Mike is a part of his repertory theater as well as owning it, producing it, directing it, he's a part of the cast as well. I don't do very many shows as far as being on the stage. But I would say my validation, or I'll use the word drug we're using, the drug for me is... seeing the cast accomplish something. Like, I only thing I could equate it to is like when I graduated high school or winning a championship game. That celebration and seeing them succeed is what I would say, like, a proud dad moment. I love seeing that the cast works so hard, the production team works so hard. So when the applause happens, I celebrate the success of the team and everyone that contributed to that. I don't know if it's a issue that I have with myself. I don't celebrate it for myself. I don't go, wow, look what I done. I don't do that. And sometimes I regret that because then I go home feeling a little depressed. I'm like, oh, okay, well, cool. Now what? So it's a catch 22, but I love the success of everyone, but I don't ever look at it and go, and it's weird because I come across pretty confident and cocky, but the reality is I don't look at it that way. I don't go, yes, look what I did. Sometimes I go, all right, we got through it. But it's more about the success that everyone got to experience. And maybe that's where it comes in. They got to experience it because I helped drive the ship or the car. And that might be it.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you'll never find an actor that doesn't enjoy the applause at the
right.
end. I mean, it's appreciated. Right. But then I thought of somebody. It's actually a really good friend of mine. And he does the show, and he doesn't do the meet and greet with the audience afterwards. He just goes out the side door and goes home. And, you know, he's telling us, I don't do it for the applause. And he's like talking about when people come up, if they see him afterwards, oh, I saw you in that show. It was so good. And he doesn't tell them this, but he's thinking, I don't care. and he's thinking, I mean, I'm glad you enjoyed the show, but that's your enjoyment was not why I was doing it. I was right. doing it because it's my social time. It's my, I like doing this. And, he's like, whether you loved it, hated it. I mean, I hope that you liked it, but if you hated it, don't care. You loved it, don't care. Wasn't doing it for you. He's the only one I've ever heard say that before.
No, if an audience didn't applaud at the end, it would affect me a lot differently. Because the cast didn't graduate. We have to go back and do senior year all over again. I'd be like, that sucked.
But there are worse things to be addicted to, right?
Yes, I hope.
I would think so. Okay, well, I wanted to touch on some of those, you know, why we do theater and... You guys hit on that. I do theater because it's something for me personally. I like to celebrate God's glory through the gifts he's given me. And it's just something, it's my outlet and I enjoy doing it. But I enjoyed hearing your guys' perspective on that. So we'll wrap it up with that for the Upstaging Gentlemen. This is Alfonso with Nathan and Michael. And we'll catch you guys next time.
Later.
Bye.